right today. Short answer. Some people have asked me, what about the people in the scripture that came out of the graves when Jesus was raised from the dead? The only gospel writer that mentions that is Matthew. And so when you come to that passage of scripture, it talks about several people, and he called them holy people. You need to make note of that. Holy people, some holy people came out of the graves, and then they went into the city of Jerusalem, and they showed themselves, but not until after the resurrection of Jesus. So Matthew records a number of miracles that happened around the crucifixion. There was the rending of the veil at the temple, and there were earthquakes, and apparently the earthquakes opened the graves. And some of the holy people, some of the saints, were raised by the power of God and then later showed themselves in Jerusalem to some of the people that knew them. What does that mean? I think it symbolizes the fact that when you and I are in Jesus, then you and I, like him, have power over death. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees ours. That is what that passage would teach. That is what it would symbolize. Some time ago, we had a touch lamp that we had next to our bed on the nightstand. And when we would have a storm, an electrical storm, then the touch lamp would come on. We didn't touch it, but the power in the air would make it come on. And it was sort of like that with the passage in Matthew. Because of the overcoming of death by Jesus Christ and because of the resurrection, God symbolized that power by raising some of the people who were holy saints, and then they showed themselves in the city of Jerusalem. Now, what happened to these people after they scared the people to death that they went to see? Apparently, it would be like Lazarus. We're not told what happened to them, but apparently it would have been like Lazarus. They have been raised, and then eventually again, they would die. They did not have their glorified body. They were just raised to preach the truth that there is victory over death in Jesus Christ, and his resurrection guarantees ours. But a good question. Well, today we go on with our series, and we come to another message on heaven, and it is this one. I want to talk today about presently, right now, me and you, in the present, being heavenly minded. I've told you about that statement that I used to read a lot more than I read today and hear a lot more than I hear today. You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That statement is absolutely false. And it is completely contrary to Scripture that tells us to set our minds on things that are above. And I want to say to us today as we begin, I don't think that if we do not live heavenly minded, if we do not live presently as believers, heavenly minded, I think we're going to tend to live more as a vagrant than as a pilgrim. I think we're just going to meander through life rather than having the pilgrim mindset of moving toward a destination. I see too many Christians today who basically are making decisions on the basis of what is in front of them only, not on kingdom agenda. I see people today who basically, Christians today, who are responding from one circumstance to another rather than living by the Word of God and living according to an agenda of the kingdom and moving as a pilgrim. There are a lot of people today who profess to be Christians and all of their treasure is earthside. It is not heavenside. They're not living in light of heaven. And over again, I see people who are call themselves believers, and they live more by the American dream than they live by the kingdom standard. Just whatever the world says, you know, this is what we deserve as an American. This is how it should be. This is the way we should live. And they live more like that than they live by the agenda of the kingdom. And folks, God has asked us to live presently in light of heaven, and I don't think we're doing that. So I ask you a question. How many of us last week lived in light of heaven? What were your thoughts about heaven? Did the thoughts of heaven and what you know about heaven permeate your life right now? I asked Joseph McMurray the other day, our student pastor, I said, do the students think about heaven? Do they talk about heaven? And he said, no, it's too far off for them. And I think One of our problems today is this. I believe that you and I see heaven as a place we go when we die. And that's basically all we see of heaven. And so we're not thinking of it. We're not thinking of it much from day to day or week to week. But listen to me. Heaven is more about the plan of God that we know and has been given to us in Scripture and living by it. When you go to Genesis, you know what God had in store. When you come to Revelation and the consummation of history, you know that God has fulfilled His plan. What is that plan? We know that plan. And you and I don't need to see heaven just as a place to go when we die. It is an agenda by which we live right now. It's sort of like God given us the architectural plans of a great cathedral that He is building, the plan that He has. Here are the great architectural plans. And for me, it would help me to have a model on the table and say, this is what it's going to look like. And then He sends us back, having become believers, and said, I want you to work on building this great cathedral. That's what I'm leaving you in the world to do. And so we know up front what it is. And so we work every day, we labor every day, we live every day in light of what we know God is about. It's like having the college syllabus before you ever start the course. You know what is expected of you. And so we do it. I've said this before to you about my seminary experience. When the Lord called me to preach, I was in Wake Forest, I was on track to do something else, but the Lord called me to preach, and so I went to seminary. And what you did in seminary in that day and time, you go to seminary and you take basic courses, you get a master's degree, you get out of seminary, and you go on to do what God wants you to do. Well, that's what I was going to do. Except for one man who was one of my professors in Old Testament. And he pulled me aside one day and he introduced the future to me, a possible future to me. He said, have you ever considered this? And I hadn't considered that. But everything changed when this man talked to me about the future. And what I did then, every day that I had presently to live doing that other undergraduate degree, was to live in light of the future. And it changed everything. It made me more committed to my studies. I'd already been committed to my studies in seminary, but I was now more committed than ever. When I looked at a roster of classes and to see what I was going to take, I started electing to take. When I had an elective to take, I began to elect taking classes in Old Testament because I knew the future. I knew where I was going. Brenda and I postponed our family. She was teaching and putting me through school, and she taught in a public high school in New Orleans that you could not teach and be pregnant. How about that for the dark ages? And so I needed her to support me. And so we postponed our family. I knew that I needed her income for 4 more years. I took my first pastorate because I knew that I was going to be there on the seminary working on this degree. It changed everything about my present. Because one man had taken the future and introduced me to it. And folks, that's exactly the way God wants us to view life. I have given you a glimpse of the future, and now I want you to let it change everything about the way you're presently living. We don't see heaven just as a place to go when we die. We see heaven as a place that changes everything about our lives right now. And if you don't think the Bible reinforces that, let me give you a very key verse. It's in the last verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And before I read it to you, I want to say this to you. When you get to 1 Corinthians 15, which is one of Paul's longest chapters in his epistles, he talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He talks about our resurrection and our resurrection body. He's talking about that for us, which is future. And yet, in the midst of all of the talk about the future, in the midst of all the talk about what is coming for me and for you, he comes to the end of the chapter, and he makes this statement. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's how you and I are to live right now, understanding our destination. He said, abound in the work of the Lord now. There is absolutely nothing that you do in the Lord that will be lost. He said, honor him now. Glorify God now. Minister in the name of the Lord now, because whatever you do will not be lost. Live now in light of heaven. If in the name of the Lord you plant a rose garden, there's nobody later that's going to come along and dig it up for a building site. It will not be in vain. It counts. It counts. And so now we're to be living in light of what we know is coming, which is heaven. So today I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about presently, living heavenly-minded. And I want to do it this way. First of all, I want to talk about living now in light of what is going to happen. And then I want to come back and talk about living right now, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in light of what has already happened. Okay? First of all, living now in light of what is going to happen. I want us to know, and I think you know already, that there will be things that we will not do in heaven that we're to be doing now. Well, in that case, do them now. And you know, you can name some of those things. For instance, do you think that we'll be sharing the gospel in heaven? The answer is no. We will be celebrating the gospel. We will all be redeemed. Everybody in heaven will be there because of the grace of God and because of redemption. We will be worshiping Him and celebrating the Lamb who died on the cross. But we will not be street preaching and passing out tracts in heaven. Everybody there is a believer. Everybody there is redeemed. That being the case, what keeps us from doing it now? I look at myself and I say, why are you so hesitant to share the gospel? Why are you delaying? What are you waiting for? The clock is ticking. And you know as well as I do, you're not sharing the gospel in heaven. And every one of us in this room knows somebody that needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why in the world would we wait? When we know we're not going to do it there. Paul in his epistle said that you and I are to be ambassadors. We're to be ambassadors for him, ambassadors for the kingdom, so that he can make an appeal through us to somebody else. I don't see anything in the scripture that teaches that there will be a role of ambassadorship in heaven. The role is now. The effect is now. And then Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I want you to be salt, I want you to be light. I want you to act like salt, I want you to act like light. Because there will be no decay in heaven, because there will be no darkness in heaven, that operation is to take place right now. You and I are to be salt because we're up against decay. You and I are to be light in the midst of darkness. Folks, listen to me. Our lives ought to be counting right now. We aren't the people who throw the barbs. We're the employee that does the very best because we are people who belong to God. We're kind and we're just and we're salt now and we're light now. And if any of us in this room want to give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, don't wait. There won't be any need to give cold water out in heaven. If you want to clothe somebody and feed the hungry, do it now. They're not going to be hungry in heaven. They're not going to be needing clothes in heaven. We need to do it now because we know there are things that we will not do in heaven. But on the other side of it, we need to be doing some things right now in our lives. We need to be living presently in a way because we know that there are things will be done in heaven that we will keep doing in heaven. So you live in light of that. When I was in my doctoral work at seminary, I had a friend there. We had carols. It's a study nook. It's not spelled like the Christmas thing. It's a study nook in the stacks in the libraries. They'd stick us in the libraries in the stacks where nobody roamed around, and that was where you studied. And so one of my friends that had a carol adjacent to mine was Steve Hicks. Steve was a great influence on my life. He was he's one of those guys, he's very smart, but he's one of those guys that sort of brought you back to earth. I remember one night, Monday night, we were studying for a seminar on Tuesday, and about 8:45, I heard Steve start putting his books away, and I said, "Where are you going? We're not ready. We haven't done everything we need to do for the seminar tomorrow." He said, "Well," he said, "there's more to life than study." So he said, "I'm going home and watch Monday Night Football." I thought, well, that's a pretty good perspective. And so I sat there for about 15 minutes trying to be holy. And I thought to myself, you know, that's probably right. And so I packed up my books and I followed him. But Steve was planning. The Lord had called him to be a missionary in Mexico. So his philosophy was, since I'm going to Mexico and I'm going to eat Mexican food, I'm going to burn my stomach out here and get ready for it. And so we would go to Pancho's, a Mexican restaurant in New Orleans, and he would eat some of the spiciest, some of the hottest peppers, some of the stuff you could not believe, getting his stomach ready for what he knew was coming. One night we were there, and he gave me a pepper, and I knew immediately that God had not called me to Mexico. It was the hottest thing I have ever put in my mouth. It made me immediately nauseated. And he was popping them in, ready to go to be a missionary in Mexico. It's the same thing, folks. I know where I'm going. You know where you're going, and you know what they're going to do there. Start doing it now. And so we live to the glory of God. God's going to be glorified there, so don't do anything here that will diminish his glory. His obedience there is going to be absolutely full. Obey him here. Last Sunday we talked about when we get to heaven, the final heaven, we're going to reign with Jesus. Well, folks, right now, let the rule of God come in your life. Let it come over your children. Let it come in your business. Let it come in your practice. Let it come in your classroom. Let people know now what the rule of God is like. Because you and I know what's ahead. We live presently a different way. And so we live in a way because we know what is going to happen. Now let me turn it a little bit. And this one may be a little different for you. We live presently now because we know what has already happened. You know, I think we look at heaven, we look at the final heaven and say, you know what's going to happen? One of these days, you know, after going to the intermediate heaven, we die, we go to the intermediate heaven, and then we're raised, and God's going to bring New Jerusalem down, and everything's going to be consummated, and we're going to have the final heaven. I know that's coming, and so when that gets here, wait a minute. I want you to understand that the new creation of God has already burst into our present. You say, how in the world is that possible, knowing that it is yet to be done? It burst into our present when Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. When Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, he came out with a glorified body that you and I will one day have. The new creation of God has already burst on the scene. And that Savior, that resurrected Christ, said to us, I have all authority in heaven and earth, and I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with my authority and with the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to begin to reflect how it's going to be right now. And that's what we're to do. That's what the church is to do. You see that phrase, you know, I told you about a moment ago, you're so heavenly minded, you're earthly no good. That phrase basically says that heaven and earth have nothing to do with each other. They do. They're united. That is the plan of God. In Genesis, God created a sanctuary, and he came and he lived with man on the earth in fellowship until sin messed it up. It was united. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth from heaven, and he lived among us, and he died among us, and he united this place again with heaven. When you come to the end of the story, you come to Revelation. New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. God again, well, his plan is that heaven and earth are together, not separate. And as Paul said then, what we do here counts. Because in God's plan, they have always been united. And this is what Paul tells us in his epistles. He said, right now, if you're a believer, you're already seated with Christ. You're already next to him in heaven. The future has burst into our present. Let me explain it this way. You probably, I don't know if you know anybody like this, but you may have heard about a person like this who is in grade school. He's just here with his friends in grade school, but he's extremely smart. And so even though he's in grade school and with his friends, they enroll him in college classes. Know anybody like that? And so he's basically living in two worlds. Here's a bunch of people anticipating. They see college in their future. He thought college was in his future, but now college future has been introduced to him in the present, and the future and the present have come to mingle together. Same thing with us. It's coming, but even though it's coming, it has come and it has invaded our very lives. And so what God says to us, I want you to reflect right now what's coming. And so you and I can sit around and say, you know, this is a hopeless place. This is a place of misery. This is a place of tears. And in many ways, that's true. And we can say, well, we'll just accept it to be that way until one day when we know there will be no misery, one day when there will be no hopelessness, one day when there will be no tears. God said, that's true, but I've got another assignment for you. Under my authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, I think I want you to start addressing misery and hopelessness and tears now. And so the church for centuries has addressed misery and hopelessness and tears and tried to help in ministry. We've been doing it now. We do it now. One of the men in our church who had an assignment during Joy Prom, hostess was a host to one of the ladies that came, the special needs ladies that came, and she was paralyzed and in a wheelchair. And so as he pushed her around the church on Joy Prom night, and they came through, you know, the door, came into the red carpet, came up to tiara stand where they get the crowns, and then go to the other places in the church. He asked her this question. He said, well, what do you think? And this is how she answered. She said, I think this is what heaven will be like. Isn't that great? I think that's the way heaven's going to be. And he said to her, he said, well, when you get to heaven, you won't be in a wheelchair, you'll be walking. Folks, Joy Prom, in a world of misery, in a world of paralysis, in a world of special needs, we brought joy to somebody in the name of Jesus now. That's what he meant. He said, the future and all that I have in store for you, I want you to start introducing people to it now. And that's the mission of the church. Don't look at heaven as something way over there and a place where we go when we die. We ought to be reflecting it now. So you and I minister in his name. We bring joy in his name. We deal with the poor and the sick and the lonely now. We wipe away tears now. Knowing, as Paul said, you will do nothing that way. That will not be counted. Nothing you do will be in vain. And the same thing is true personally. If heaven is that way, then I begin to understand now that the future has invaded my present and it makes a difference in the way I live. I'll tell you this. When you grab the truth of knowing that you're sitting next to Jesus, and that's what the Bible says. You're seated right now with Jesus. You look over here, and there's Jesus sitting next to you. That's the reality. You will not be fooling around with pornography. There are a lot of things you will stop doing when you get the truth that you're seated next to Jesus. We just don't have that truth. We do not have that. We do not live in that truth. And he expects us to. You take the scripture and you get up in the morning and go, oh, I'm so tired and I got to read two or three verses here and do my daily Bible reading so I can check off this assignment. No. This book not only tells us about the final heaven, this book is fostering the new creation in us right now. And we ought to be in this book saying, Lord, teach me what you want me to do now and how you want to reflect through me now. Prayer. If I'm seated with Jesus and he's right next to the Father, I have an intimacy with God now. Talk to him. Changes everything about the present. You look around today and you look at the way people live their lives, you look at the way young people make their decisions, and you look at the way young couples spend money, and you go, we know nothing about delayed gratification. And yet if you read something just like the Beatitudes, except for the first one that says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All the rest of them are in the future. You will mourn, you will be comforted. You will be persecuted, but the kingdom of heaven will be yours. People will say all kinds of evil and nasty things about you, but rejoice. Because great in heaven will be your reward. And I tell you what, you get a glimpse of heaven and what God's going to do in heaven. If you have to wait a little while for something, so be it. So be it. We understand. No, I think it's wrong for us folks to look at heaven as some little compartment over there that we go to when we die. Heaven is all about us. Heaven is here. We need to live in light of it now. And we need to be signposts. And look, listen to me. When you do that, if you begin to live as heaven's going to be, people begin to look at your life and say, I wouldn't mind having more of that. I may want to go too. That's true ambassadorship. And I'll tell you something. The last thing the devil wants us to do is live presently in light of heaven. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. That's his will. So when somebody asks you now, do you live in light of heaven? Oh, yes. Because I know what's going to happen there. And I'm living now in light of it. And I know already that the new creation has already burst into our world and our Savior. He wants me to be a signpost. He wants me to reflect what's going to happen. Yeah, I live in light of heaven. Every day I need to do that. And I say to you again, if you don't do that, you will wind up being a vagrant rather than a pilgrim. Let's pray. Lord, you're good. You're gracious. And we know what's coming because of that. Because of your grace and your goodness, we're going to be with you forever and ever. But it doesn't just begin somewhere over there and we look forward to it and we live like we want to here. It impacts what we're doing now. And I love those words that Paul gave us. And whatever is done in the Lord is not going to be in vain. You've got your eye on every bit of that. And it's your will right now that by the authority of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we reflect heaven. Lord, may we do it. And may our lives be lived completely differently in the present because of that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing our final song, and I want you to be open to whatever God would have you to do. Obedience in heaven is full. Let it be full here. If that's the way it's going to be in heaven, let's do it now. I'll be at the front if anyone has a decision they want to make public. And we always have counselors in the room. You can go down the hall to the next step room and speak with someone there after the service. But act on what God has led you to do. That's the important thing. So I invite you to stand with me, and I want you to know that you're welcome to come, but listen to him and do what he says. Let's stand. You sing, and as you sing, you feel free to come.